Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owen.
And I'm Deshaun Thornton, otherwise known as
DT. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. We're back in the studio on a not-so-sunny day,
but
it's okay.
It is okay.
Because One Mic, One Voice is here to stay.
Absolutely, man. Listen. I love it, man. You just like the spontaneity is just, you know, just coming out of you. But hey, you're right. Any day, man, that we have life in us, breath in us, is a good day.
Because the rain brings growth too, right?
Absolutely. You need it. It's vital. It's vital even for the ecosystem. And so but some people get depressed, though, doing
that.
You know,
is true. That is
during
true.
The rain.
And a lot of time to reflect when it ain't so sunny outside.
Yeah. However, you know, we're going to go ahead and get into today's show. And hopefully, if you're depressed,
we'll be talking about water.
We definitely be talking about water. But if you are depressed, hopefully today's show will get you focused, lift you up, give you something to think about. And, you know, we're actually... we're Periscoping, right?
We're live on Periscope. I mean, you can see us like right now.
Right now.
Having this conversation.
Doing what we do best.
Periscope, follow us.
Yes, absolutely. I want to go back to a topic that we've talked about in the past that's still in the news. They just had the Democratic debate in Flint. Did you have a chance to check it out?
I didn't get a chance to see the debate, but could you?
It was more the same.
Okay.
You know, I mean
it was kind of, I mean, you saying that was just confirmation of what I thought already. So
it's like
I didn't miss anything.
We're like debated out. You know, I mean, they can't say anything new that right. we ain't already heard right. like years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I turned it on a little bit.
Did you gain anything from it? Did you gain a new perspective? Did you see anything different at all?
Absolutely nothing. I tell you what was interesting is Bernie Sanders, and we're talking about the Democratic debate between Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton, and Senator Bernie Sanders. One thing was interesting is, I mean, he took a tone with her that was, you know, when I heard it, I said, you know, he's going to take some flack for that, because it is the same tone that she took with then Senator Obama, which really hurt her among minority voters. Because it's that tone, and this is interesting, because it's that tone that sounds condescending. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, anytime you take that tone, it's like, and I think it's different among guys than it is when there's a gender difference.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't be, but it is, right? Yeah. I mean, and it's even more different when like with Ms. Clinton the last time against Senator Obama. I mean, here was a white female talking to him like he was, you know, less than a man, you know. And I remember that, because I was like, oh no, you know, I mean, I took that personal.
Right, you felt it.
I was like, oh no, you can't talk to him like that.
So what were they talking about where Bernie Sanders took that tone with her?
Well, I don't remember the exact topic, but I do know she was trying to kind of cut him off. Mm-hmm. Which is a debate tactic. I mean, that's just part of the
they
whole
do that,
kind
though.
Of frame.
Even though they give him the regulation on time, and you know, you.
But he was like, "I'm talking now. Uh-huh. You get your turn." You know, now when you do that, I mean, it does come across as being condescending, and he sounded a little agitated. You know, I don't. You know, again, I can only say what I saw, but he did seem quite agitated. And I know we have a lot of folks supporting. Senator Sanders, I think he's got some great ideas, but I thought that was extremely condescending and unprofessional, in my opinion.
Man. So what do you think could bring maybe some new elements to the debate game, or to the candidates who are trying to, you know,
well, get
their message across?
Yeah. You know, that's a great question, because I think, number one, there's not much we haven't seen. And one individual, and this is the truth about government, one individual is not going to change Washington. I mean, the president at the time when he ran on this idea of changing Washington. Mm-hmm. Well, how did that work, right?
Backlash.
Yeah. It's just, and I think we put too much merit in one position.
Yeah.
When you talk about how bringing about change in Washington, you have to change the dynamics of Congress itself. If you don't do that, then you don't change Washington, because you got the same people, same lawmakers are there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the president is, and especially if you don't have the Congress, you have a divided government, and you know, say one party has the Senate and one party has the House. Well, I mean, it's going to be hard to push your agenda through. And so,
but I mean, is there a lot more people in the decision making aspect part of it than we give credit to?
Oh,
we
absolutely
assume that the president is calling down all the orders, making all the shots, and. That's not the case.
And I mean, every president would wish that was the case. I mean, when you have to build consensus and compromise and a lot of these bills. I mean, one thing they were talking about was this bill to bail out the auto industry, because we know about Detroit and how, you know, the auto industry, you know, really contributes to their economy. And Sanders was saying, well, Sanders didn't vote for the bill. And Hillary voted for the bill, but the issue is that it did bail out, you know, Wall Street. Mm. But when you get to this level, you understand that there are bills that come with all types of stuff. And if you vote against the bill, then you lose it. Mm. I mean, and her argument was, and I'm not saying I agree with her argument. I see both sides of it. But her argument was that if I voted against that bill, and the president sent a letter to the Democrats and said, I need your support on this. Mm. So number one, are you going to support the president? Okay, the leader of your party, number one. And number two, are you going to vote for something that you know is giving money to the very people that brought down the system? However, how many jobs? What is it, like 40,000? 40,000 jobs that would have been lost if that bill hadn't went through? Maybe more than that. So to me, I mean, it is a you know, you're weighing all of these different options. And at the end of the day, you know, a lot of time, and one criticism I have of people like Mr. Sanders is this idea that it's black and white. Mm-hmm. It's not black and white.
Yeah.
I wish it was. I mean, you know, hey, you know.
I mean, the way things are right now, you would assume that the world is just this black and white place where the only issues are between blacks and whites, and there's nothing else going on. Other people are not involved. Other people don't live here.
Yeah.
It's such a black and white kind of a scenario.
Well, system, right? And I mean, even though, you know, you're talking about black and white, race-wise, right, but even
I see where you started.
Even that, I mean, the assumption is that it is that simplistic, mm-hmm. that it's not as complicated, you know, even when it comes down to the races in this country, the different races in this country, that somehow folks are, it's a black or white problem. Well, it's mm-hmm. much more complicated than that. And even decisions that are made at the highest level, it's not that concrete as we would say, mm-hmm. symbolically, as black and white. But, you know, and so getting back to this idea of Flint and what's going on in Flint, man.
Still going on, man, even though they say we often forget, you know, about the things that are not happening right around our neighborhoods and our lives. But these people are still dealing with that tragedy every single day.
Every single day. And just so our listeners know, the city changed its water source from the Detroit system to the Flint River in April 2014 as a cost-saving measure, DT, exposing its residents to untreated water replete with lead leach from aging pipes. Last September, a local health center found that the proportion of children with elevated lead levels in their blood had nearly doubled since the switch was made.
Wow.
Why did they do it? What did it say?
Save a little bit of money.
Save money.
Save some coin.
Public health is trumped because we're gonna save some dollars.
Now, how are people getting clean water at this point in time?
I don't know. You know, we were discussing this some time ago, but they were saying that a family of three is using like 151 bottles of water per day.
Wow. So you're just thinking about maybe even at a dollar a bottle.
That's just
And I also read that there was a company, I don't know the specific name, but had been tested for lead, and they found lead in these bottles of water. Mm. So even now, the bottles of water that they're selling to people are tainted with lead.
Wow.
And so it's like, man, you lose on both sides.
And, you know, I mean, it is. I mean, you know, where is the, you know, where's the reprieve from this situation? And, I mean, for those of you listening, I mean, you might say, yeah, you know, it's Flint and, you know, yeah, water, I get it. But this is in America.
Yeah, it's not a third world country.
Exactly. This is the richest country on the face of the planet. And we have citizens that don't even have fresh drinking water. That is crazy. How can that be in 2016 that our children, they are our children, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, they are our children. Why can we not guarantee that they have drinking water? It says here that, but the truly terrifying fact about the water crisis in Flint is invisible. It is the insidious effects of growing up or growing old while unknowingly allowing lead into your bloodstream. We're going to talk here in a minute about the effects of lead on especially the development of young kids. I mean, but what I want to state here is what is written. This is a poison, you know, this is the poisoning that has occurred not just in Flint, but all over this country for decades. And in a minute, we're going to get into this idea of we're talking about water.
Water.
But there's some people saying that our kids have been lead poisoned year after year by lead paint in the homes. That the water is like, you know, that's like the tip of the iceberg.
That's
not even the real issue is paint in homes.
Wow.
And the reality is, where do we find most of these older homes, urban centers, okay?
They actually just released a kind of a statistic to show Oklahomans by zip code where they stand as far as any water that had been considered tainted or, you know, may need looking over or whatever. And a lot of people were shocked to find out that, you know, for however amount of time that they had been dealing with the water issue. So people were finding out, you know, over a certain amount of time that their zip code was associated with a water problem.
Wow. And I'm not going to say it, but.
And there are no solutions coming out. It's just like, you know, y'all may be affected by this.
Because what do you have to do? You have to toss money at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, states, governments are saying we don't have any money. They're cutting education. They're cutting all these things. And are you think they're going to give money for this crisis? Matter of fact, there was these activists in Governor Christie's state, of New Jersey, had identified the issues there with lead in their water, and they requested $10 million to work on this progress. And he just vetoed the bill.
Said, nope, not doing it, huh?
Don't have the money.
Wow.
Okay. And this is going toward our kids. And I want to read, in Flint, 4% of kids age 5 and under tested with blood lead levels of at least 5 micrograms per deciliter. Mm. The threshold of lead intake that's necessary public health action as defined by the federal government. So this is the threshold that we're looking at here. And 4%. Okay, tested 5 and under tested with blood levels of at least at that level.
Wow. So, and I'm going to continue reading an article here. It says that high levels of exposure, lead attacks the brain and central nervous system to cause coma, convulsions, and even death. So children who survive severe lead poisoning may be left with mental retardation and behavioral disruption. At lower levels of exposure that cause no obvious symptoms and that previously were considered safe, lead is now known to produce a spectrum of injury across multiple body systems. So this thing, man, is not just a small issue, and not even something that you can get over. Once this stuff is in your system, in your body, they can't reverse that.
Absolutely.
And this is starting from children who are going to have to grow up and grow up through life with this lead in their bloodstream.
Absolutely. Oh, man. real dire news. Hang on. Stay seated. Stand up. Do jumping jacks. One mic, one voice. We'll be right back. DT, this segment is being brought to you by Selfie Moon. You know, we take those pictures, right? Uh-huh. That, you know, they all dark, man, and uh-huh. You can't even tell who you're trying to find the light, or you might even be in I ain't gonna even say in the club, because you might be in the club, let's say.
Professional events.
Exactly, right? And you're trying to get that one picture, man, capture that moment. Well, listen, Selfie Moon is what you want to buy, man. It goes right on your phone.
Okay.
All right, man.
You can get the perfect lighting.
It's a brand new product. Folks, go to theselfiegods.com. That is theselfiegods.com. And guess what? When you buy one of those Selfie Moons, you're supporting the One Mic, One Voice show. A little bit go back to us so that we can continue to do what we do.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show.
And we're back.
Wow. I mean, you know, this.
Man,
this
I'm having a hard time dealing with this because, like, we're talking about water, right?
Yes.
A very basic human need, I mean, a necessity of humanity within itself, is a really important resource for us.
Yes.
And having to think about dealing with these issues in my own state, in my own city, and there being no aid for me and no help, nobody coming forth with, like you said, any type of knowledge that will help us get out of the situation. I mean, I can only imagine how those people feel up there dealing with that every day. Like you said, dealing with having to use bottles of water to bathe yourself, to drink. Brush your teeth, make the baby's bottle. Who knows what they're using the waters for? But, I mean,
don't you feel? I mean, I would feel like I'm under siege. I mean, really, I would feel this is my home.
Like,
I can't leave my home.
Where am I?
Exactly. So what? How can I survive? When is this crisis going to end? And we know it's going to take millions of dollars to remove all that piping, all that infrastructure. The reason why we're talking about this today, DT, because we, as you mentioned earlier, we don't want this to go, you know, we don't want this to fall away where people are not paying attention to it, because this is a crisis that's not only happening in Flint, mm-hmm. but it's happening across our country.
And it could be Oklahoma City, you know.
You could be drinking high lead based water right now, mm-hmm. and not even know it. I mean, it is, these pipes have been there. Oh man, they've been there forever, and we have. But yet still, we're spending billions of dollars in foreign countries, mm-hmm. you know. And here we're not even taking care of our own backyard. Let me read something else too. It says that this is the real emergency for which cities and state officials are bracing. The rising demand for special education because of lead poisoning and the development of what you talked about, or the lack of development that you talked about, and juvenile correction programs that will emerge once lead is translated into, get this, reduce IQs, mm-hmm. shorten attention spans, and greater instances of violence.
So we're talking about children, right? And so how do kids find themselves productive when their health, first of all, is being attacked directly? They're having issues with their brain development, having issues with social life, having issues with their behavior. And these are children.
These are children.
These are the years in which they have to be focusing on learning and developing themselves. And with all these things, lead is stunting that in a way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do they have a chance? I mean, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are the children of Flint, are the children of these other states, do they have a chance?
I mean, the way that it sounds with these things being irreversible, we don't know. I don't even know if there's journalism or scholarship on the topic of people who have had lead poison over time and see how they turn out.
Irreversible. That's what the experts are saying. There's nothing you can do about it. They will not develop in the way that they should. You can anticipate. We've already got enough issues with our young people that are coming from environments that are not impacted by this sort of stuff.
Right.
And you know, I mean, dealing with the low, with the
same
challenges, right? But to add this, the lack of ability to be a decent student, or to, you know, this idea of of being angry, this idea of being prone to violence. You know, I mean, what chance do these young people truly have?
It's sad because, I mean, this water issue is affecting everything, you know, on the education, the health, women, children, being able to survive, the people who have farms and are trying to grow crops. I'm sure that's having a negative impact on that. So
there's not
going to be much development for anybody, mm-hmm. not even the children, but for anybody in that area who is trying to survive mm-hmm. and needing water as a natural resource yeah. and not having it.
Do we care?
We should, because it could be us. I mean, we wouldn't want somebody else turning their eye or turning their head to our issue. And this is such an important thing.
Get this. Only 27 states, including Washington, D.C., reported childhood blood lead surveillance results to the CDC National Database for 2014. Those are the most recent statistics. These represent just a slice of the infant population. In Texas, let's just talk about Texas.
Just a slice.
Only 184 kids were tested for lead poisoning.
In Texas?
Okay.
That's like one classroom.
The state population of kids under six exceeds 2 million.
Wow.
2 million.
Wow.
184 were tested. Do we care? I mean, wow. Do we care? I mean, we have no idea the damage that we're causing our children. Yeah. And we talk about now all the medication that our kids are being put on because of behavioral mm-hmm. issues. I hear the critics, DT. I hear them. You know, my child has a chemical imbalance. I'm not an expert. I'm not going to talk mm-hmm. against that, okay? I believe there are some things that need to take place with that, so I'm not going to speak against it. But we have too many kids being medicated simply because of behavioral issues that we have no idea the long-term effects on their lives, on their psyche, on their behavior. Add this to it, okay? Add this to it. Do they have a chance?
So, will they develop? Do they have a chance? You've given me the statistics. We've laid out the different problems that the kids are going to encounter. And when you ask me the question now, I'm going to say the chance is slim to none.
Slim to none. Slim to none. That's the reality, folks. I mean, again, I don't want to be pessimistic, mm-hmm. but the science is already in. I mean, the doctor come and say, you got cancer. I don't believe you. What do you mean? The science is in. You know, you got cancer. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you. Well, sooner or later, you're going to be a believer.
Right.
Because it's not going to leave you. Mm-hmm. Okay? The science is in. Our children barely have a chance for success in this country.
As it is.
As it is. And to add this to it, I think is seriously traumatic. And it talks about here how lead, and particularly they talked about paint, how lead levels in children in the suburbs have plummeted. The harsh fact is that minority children in urban communities continue to be poisoned. Mm-hmm. Okay. Continue to be poisoned.
Wow. I mean, so that they're having a water issue, I'm also assuming that there's maybe some mildewing around in those areas.
Well, the pipes haven't been used. You don't have water flowing in them. Who mm-hmm. knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something to think about.
That's another health risk.
But when you're poor, and this is what people don't understand, man, poverty increases your likelihood of falling into even dire straits. If you had money, you just move.
Yeah. And that's you know what, that was one of the things that I read and seen a lot of people trying to pull money together so that they can haul up a truck and get out of there or just pack up and go somewhere else.
But if you live in paycheck to paycheck,
you don't have money to go. You just don't.
You don't government assistance.
Mm-hmm.
You again, where do you go? Okay, who helps you? When I hear this governor saying he won't resign because if a problem happened on his watch, you know, he doesn't run from it, he solves it. You need to go. Or you need to go. Okay? I mean, it shouldn't have happened on your watch. Mm-hmm. This is a mistake you do not make. And, folks, we need to keep this conversation alive. It's not just in Flint. The attention is on Flint. or maybe not, because I haven't heard really anything about it. If they hadn't had the debate there, you would think everything is fine,
everything
DT.
Is peachy cream.
You know, yeah, they getting bottles of water. Yeah. Who wants to live getting bottles of water every day? Do you? I know
no,
I don't.
I
want to go to the tab and, you know, turn it and, you
open
know.
Open up the refrigerator.
Yeah, because I know you probably got one of those fancy ones, don't man, you? You probably got them, you know, all aerodynamic.
Richard, why are you always giving me all the credit?
You just probably just speak to yours, water on.
I actually have to go out to the back and well it up.
Is that what it is? Crank just crank it up.
One bucket at a time. That's how we do it.
One bucket at a time. But, yeah, as you talked about, I mean, this is a very serious, serious problem. And we need to keep our eyes, our ears, and the pressure on those who can make a difference in the lives of all of these young kids that are suffering, and even the parents. I mean, it's unhealthy for them to be drinking that.
People coming out with rashes and falling.
The hair was falling out, and the one now that can't put on weight, the young girl. I mean, it's devastating. Listen, folks, we're gonna take a break. One mic, one voice. We will be right back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of the Black Box Podcast. Wanted to tell you, thanks again for listening to the One Mic, One Voice. Please be sure to check out their Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. And while you're on Facebook, go ahead and stop by Blackin Studios. Also, check out our website, blackinstudios.com, to find all the podcasts that record here, including the One Mic, One Voice Show, the Black Box, the Elijah Bailey Show, the Roxy by Design Show, and also the Gamer Stand Podcast. Thanks again for all of your support, and remember, it's Blackin.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice Show.
We're here.
We are here.
Still building up on that collective conscience.
That's right. Trying to get people focused in because, yeah. I mean, we got some serious things happening in our country. And, you know, we don't always like to go in that deep, yeah. But sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah. Man, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and it's just funny to me. And like you said, there are a lot of people who have, you know, information, and they're getting it from people who don't necessarily have a holistic view of everything.
Yeah.
And you can't take that little bit of information and try and generalize it for everything, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, man, do your research, study, because there is more to it than what you think and what you're saying right now. So
yeah, absolutely.
Like this show is, we're trying to dig a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing against educating yourself on the topic. There's nothing, against pausing and saying, I'm gonna go. I need to do some research before I come back and give you my input.
I mean, because
I
think the understanding give you more empowerment once you really know. And it's not just somebody's opinion. It's not just something that, you know, is up there in the air. It's something that you really seeked out to understand and got
absolutely.
The results you want.
And approach it being teachable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't understand. This is about being a lifelong learner. This is about being teachable, being molded, no matter how young or old you are, putting yourself in a position for growth. Mm-hmm. And when you think you know it and you don't know it and you don't know you don't know it.
Right.
I like how you said that. I used that. So I'm going to show you here in a minute how I used it.
Okay.
And on Facebook, you know, man, should I just delete my account? How many times I got to ask this question? Should I just delete it, DT?
What happened? What's up with your Facebook this time?
Man,
you back into it with your audience, with your friends, quote unquote.
Delete it.
Man, I need some better Facebook friends. Man,
let me just say this. You know, But the thing is,
you know, everybody not going to like you. Everybody not going to like what you have to say. So as you are have the courage enough to express your opinion about something, then you gotta be ready for the backlash.
And let me say this. You know, there's probably, for everyone I weigh in on, there's probably at least 50 I don't.
Oh,
so let me just say that I pass up on a lot of stuff, man. I'm just like, no, I'm too tired. I got stuff to do. But, you know, Sasha, one of our listeners, just posted something about white privilege and about how difficult it is for white Americans to have that conversation. You know, and she talks about how extremely defensive some get when you bring up this particular conversation. And she said, this is something that needs to be understood in order to have civil conversations on race and to work toward achieving racial reconciliation. I thought it was great. Hmm. I'm like, man, that's profound. Hmm. I'm with. So I just simply say, you know, it's so true. You know, I appreciate, her keeping the conversation alive. So, I'm just mm-hmm. dipping in. You know, I'm not going in. I'm just dipping in.
Just stopping by.
So, okay. So we had this individual. And why is it? This is another thing that kills
me. Wait, Mike. I heard the meter just shoot up to red on that right there.
So why is it that people have to interject other things in the conversation that have nothing to do with the conversation? Somebody brought in Chris Rock. Okay. All right. So, and he brought up black privilege.
Hmm.
Now, see, normally I could leave stuff like that alone, but he brought up black privilege. And, well, first of all, let me
to the Rockefeller Library anytime I want to. Nobody gonna say nothing to me.
And then, okay, let me back up here for a minute. This guy says, I think Chris Rock showed us that in the pecking order of race, black privilege is right up there with white privilege. Hmm. Based on his near silence on other people of color, Indians, Hispanics, have a few rugs to climb just to get in the game. And so I didn't even comment on that, but I did, the Chris Rock thing has nothing to do with so this is what I said. I said black privilege ?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that? Okay. Huh? I said Africans were the only people brought here by force. Are you serious? ? Look at the inequities against black people throughout history in the present day. Black privilege? The same can be said for other minorities concerning your argument. But I take issue with the very notion of so-called black privilege. This is a new one.
Yes, first time I've ever heard it.
So his response is, Africans were not the only people brought here by force. My Cherokee ancestors were forcibly removed from their homeland and dumped into the middle of the wilderness. We all have our tragic history. So what? We are talking about the here and the now. If black folks don't want to be the same as white folks as they gain power, they need to take a good look at their climb and the people being left behind. And then he comments again. He says, Michael, the reason you haven't heard of black privilege is because black power is new.
Hmm.
It's not where it needs to be, but definitely rising. Just because you haven't figured it out doesn't mean it's not real. And so this is what I respond to him.
Mike, okay. Man, you should have just left.
Should I just left alone? Yes. That's probably my problem. Huh? Okay, this is what I said to him. I said, first of all, I'm going to leave his name out. White privilege is a design system to favor one race over another. Black people do not have a system. Matter of fact, they are the reason the system was created, if you know true history. You are making two separate arguments, but obviously you cannot distinguish between the two. Not surprising, given your comparison of Native peoples' removal and Africans being chained up, crowded into slave ships, brought across the ocean, where many perished before arrival, and so beaten and were valued as property. However, this analysis is beyond you. Furthermore, the conversation initiated was about white privilege, and if you study scholarship on the topic, you will clearly know that the other side of the coin is black subjugation. Yet, I think this is a fact you cannot embrace because of your own implicit biases. It is compelling that you don't know that you don't know.
That's it, yeah.
That's it. That you don't know that you don't know. Lastly, black power is new. What planet are you living on? Oh, my God. Do your homework. If you are referring to the 1960s, well, keep going back. Trust me, the concept of black power is beyond you. Lastly, again, I could go back and forth with you, yet it would be pointless.
Exactly. Wow. Man. So, like, I just wrote a little note here, and it says, didn't have enough info, and I circled it because we just talked about that. This man wanted to interject a comment, like you said in the beginning. First of all, didn't even relate to the original post, and he did not have enough information to back up the argument he was trying to make with you.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, like I said, you probably should have just, you know, hey, just because there are a lot of people on Facebook, man, just talking out the side of their neck, typing from the ends of their fingertips, this nonsense, you know, and have no clue about, you know, what they're talking about. Just want to say something.
Just want to say something. I just want to weigh in on this one.
Here's what I think. You know, and it make it that easy for somebody to draw up a whole conclusion on their own with, you know, a little bit of facts and trying to push that as a general idea for everybody.
And DT, this is what happens anytime you try to bring up a very difficult conversation that people don't want to address. You bring up white privilege. Why do you bring up white privilege? So that you can talk about it. You know, you don't bring it up because you're blaming people for it. You're not pointing the finger. You're saying this thing exists. I mean, this thing has an impact on our society, mm-hmm. and we need to have a conversation about it. But what do people mm-hmm. do? Instead of them talking about the issue, they talk about everything else. Let's mm-hmm. talk about Chris Rock. Let's talk about black privilege. Man, you got to be mad.
New one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and I know I do a whole lot of studying, mm-hmm. okay? I ain't never read Black Privilege.
Not even those two words, like, side by side.
They don't even go together, man. Yeah. I think they like... you know, repel each other, man.
Was it water and oil, huh?
You know, next time the cop pulled me off, I'm just, man, I got black privilege, man. What's wrong with you?
You're going to jack you up out of the car so fast, like, excuse me. Let me show you what I've got.
black privilege. But how can you conceive that the implications is that black people have a system?
If he would have been able to explain it to you exactly what he meant, or even maybe even some little details about what black privilege consists of, I would have been interested in, I mean, trying to get some of that. So try to even hear some of that, because I haven't heard that at all.
At all. Ever. I could make an assumption about, I can kind of pull together what he was trying to say in that when blacks make it to a certain level, okay, they don't speak for all minorities. So therefore, that privilege is just like white privilege. Now, he said something to me, too, on here. No, another guy weighed in. And, yeah, he weighed in. And he weighed out quickly. he weighed in. But he
checked in to check out, huh?
He weighed in. He said, I think the term inadvertently minimizes other forms of oppression. If you discuss, so he's going to give us a strategy for discussing white privilege.
Okay. This is the platform.
This is a platform. If you discuss other forms of oppression and validate them before you discuss white privilege, you will get a lot less pushback. It's a white guy. It's not fair to have to waste time discussing other issues, but it will stop people from minimizing white privilege by bringing up the oppression they see in their lives. Hmm. Now, let me just, before you respond, let me just tell you what I responded. Why should I have to validate other forms of oppression to talk about the ways in which I am being oppressed? Question mark.
How do I understand any of them?
Listen, are those people you speak of validating my oppression first? This tactic never works. It's a deviation and minimizes the people being oppressed. It's the all lives matter versus the black lives matter. How well has that worked? Hmm. Okay. So in other words, see, now before I can talk about my issue, mm-hmm. man, I got to validate everything else you're going through. You know, poor old you. Mm-hmm. You know, how difficult you have it. Mm-hmm. You feel good now? Yeah. So now I can talk about my issues. Mm-hmm. Man, that's just stupid. No, I'm going to be honest with you. validating the oppression of others before I can even speak about my own oppression? I mean, before I can speak about slavery, before I can speak about convict leasing, before I can speak about Jim Crowism, before I can speak about mass incarceration, I need to validate others? I mean, that's crazy, man. I'm like, how does that work? So all of a sudden now they just feel good for me to I'm ready now to talk about white privilege.
Now that you put all those other things out there.
Yeah, now that you have heard me and you have validated me, now I'm ready to hear your issues. Never happened.
Now after you've made me feel good about myself. Let's get to you.
That in itself is white privilege. Mm-hmm. That in itself minimizes.
Yeah, and like we talk about, it's not having to address yourself, you know, privileged enough to address your own issues, validate yourself, while also ignoring the issues of somebody else.
Absolutely. And I mean, this whole thing of you're going to tell me how I need to go about expressing my own oppression. That's white privilege. What makes you think you can stand on a mantle, get on your own little pedestal, and tell me how I should address my own oppression?
He got the recipe for you. Are you going to try it at least?
No. 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 You know what I mean? I mean,
he may be on to something, Mike.
Yeah,
he may be laying the groundwork.
He on some vodka or something. He on something crazy. Because I'm here to tell you, man, that statement in itself robs me of my own humanity.
Yeah, it does.
To speak of who I am and what I am and what I'm going through, and how dare you tell me I need to validate others before I can speak my own truth.
That doesn't make any sense.
It
doesn't make any sense.
Before I speak my own truth. Folks.
Doesn't make any sense.
We'll be right back.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice. And be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast. Stream directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious.
Yo, Mike, so have you heard about this this football player? Guy out of Ohio State.
Yeah, he's a pretty good ball player, too.
Yeah, man, really exceptional.
Yeah, he is.
Ball player. He actually recently was at the Combine answering some questions from local scouts and people interested in getting him on their teams. Coach from the Falcons asked him, was he gay during the interview?
Ouch.
I mean, that's just kind of...
What was his exact question? Did he, like, say, are you gay?
pretty much to the fact, do you like men?
Wow.
Do you like boys?
Wow. What's that got to do to football?
Nothing, if you ask me.
I mean, maybe if he had said, do you like to hit?
I mean, even that to me would have been a little bit inappropriate. Like, what do you mean by that? I mean, if we play football, we do that all the time. Of course, I enjoy this word.
Do you like to hug?
He would have been better off asking him a question like that than asking him if he was a homosexual, if he had interest in other males.
Man, because he's a black athlete, right?
Black athlete. His name is Eli Apple.
Wow.
Came from Ohio State, like I said, but. Man, what does that say about the level of respect that athletes carry these days?
How was he supposed to answer that question? I mean, because it's like, so it's like what do you question. Mean? Do I like men?
Mm-hmm.
Well, clarify that. Do you mean do I get with men? Do I, you know, maybe should have break that down for me.
Men,
you know?
Friends? Or?
Yeah, you know, I got some boys, man. We love each other, man. But what are you talking about? Do I like men? Do I hate men? I don't know. What do you...
And then I said to myself, you know, football, all-male sport, players are interacting in a a way that is
yeah, they'd be falling on each other.
Falling on each other, tackling each other.
Hugging one another.
Hugging each other. Times of praise. They're giving pats on the backside.
Yeah, they do that. They knock heads a lot.
Nobody has brought any homosexual energy into this situation until this man is saying, yo, you like boys, you like men, you wanna take one of our linemen out to dinner after this? Like, man, come on.
You wanna take a shower? I mean, that's just so bizarre that someone would propose a question like that to any athlete. I mean, what does that have to do with the game? That man is there because he's trying to show his skill set so that he can move up in the draft or get drafted. I mean, to me, that's just did he have that on the clipboard or something?
Eli Apple says, the coach says, so do you like men? Apple told the sportscaster, it was like the first thing he asked me. It was weird. I was just like, no. It was like, if you're going to come to Atlanta, that's something.
Okay.
That's how it is around here. Yeah. You're going to have to get used to it.
Yeah.
We talk to people like that, I guess is what he's saying.
Well, one thing I do know, I mean, there is a very vibrant, homosexual community in Atlanta. Okay. Just like in San Francisco, these are well-known, strong, I think, vibrant communities. That's not saying anything negative about the community. It's just the community is there. Mm-hmm. So when he tied those two together, but still, I'm still confused about who cares what the guy's sexual orientation is. Now, who cares who he choose to love? That's football, man. I mean, you knocking heads, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You ain't knocking boots.
Right. Right.
I had to throw
I mean,
you might
want
to get that
and
out.
And Apple was a good sport about it. He just said, I guess he was joking, but they just asked most of these questions, see how you're going to react.
That's a lie.
I also believe it. It's a lie.
It's a lie. That's just a weird. What if you in a job interview? That's like a job interview. You like sitting there with, okay, Deshaun Thornton, you like men? You like, what'd you just say to me?
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, I know you want this position, but,
to me,
do you like men?
It sounds like he was asking for himself.
That's what it sounds like to me. Like he might've been interested.
Yeah. If you want to come to Atlanta, that's just how it is around here.
That he was trying to fill him out or something,
know, which players we can get dibs on.
Maybe he was making some moves on him, though.
Because there's been too much of that going on. We had the stuff up at Penn State with the coaches and the players. Sandusky.
Yeah, the Predator. Yeah, that was a Predator, but that was little boys, though.
I mean, and given the climate,
given
the climate of that, we shouldn't be making comments like that.
Well, I think too, man. No one should have to answer their sexual orientation for anyone. Hmm. That's none of your business. Okay, that is an individual's choice, and they should be respected for what they do, who they choose to love. Whether you agree or disagree with it, that's irrelevant. That's a person's personal choice. And no one should be called on the carpet to give an answer for that, man. I mean, that's just – and this dude, I guess he's like
– Nothing to do with football.
Nothing to do with football. And I guess this guy, is he like a linebacker or something?
Played
– Because I think he in the hitting game. Because I think he on defense.
Yeah, I play cornerback.
Oh, yeah, so – Well, that coach should be, I think I was reading something about. He said he went to some counseling after that or something like that. The coach that proposed that question
he went to counseling
and he feels now like he understands the mistake he made and he has grown from it.
You got some fast track therapy, huh?
Yeah, he's a much better man.
He's changed.
He sees the world differently I think he's worried about his job.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that comment came from a ill place. He was trying to save face by saying, I'm sorry. we say stuff like that around here. I didn't mean nothing by it.
We say stuff like that. Right?
You know, like you said, it's just a cover up, man. Just something to help him sustain his job and not get himself in trouble because he did say something that was very disrespectful. And
completely
I'm sure offended lots of people around the world. that don't even play football.
I'm offended for the brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just something that nobody should have to be. I mean, what was going through his mind when he heard those words? I mean, because he said it was like weird, right?
Yeah, he was like, it was weird. Like you, like it kind of throw you off guard in such a way that you don't know how to. I mean, he responded probably the same way we would have responded, like, no, but, you know, it's like you're kind of still confused. Like, right. Did this cat really just ask me this?
Exactly. Exactly, man. That is crazy. And, I mean, we have athletes that are being very open about their sexuality, and they should be respected for that. And no other profession are you called into question your ability to do anything. It should be the same way in athletics. Okay, if the man was out there doing a job before you knew he was gay, why all of a sudden your knowledge of him being gay now all of a sudden prevents him from being able to compete? Mm. If he ran as fast, she ran as fast, you find out that she's gay, all of a sudden now she can't run as fast because you know that? That makes no sense. You have to respect all people. Any, and DT, I know you agree, any form of discrimination is unacceptable against any group, people, doesn't matter. Folks, we got to take one more break. We will be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook, and Twitter.
And
blackandstudios.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
And we love you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, folks. It's been a great show, DT.
Great show, man. Oh, man. Having fun, even with no sun.
Even with no sun. Man, you just been rhyming all day long.
Man, I could go on forever.
But I tell you what, man, we have to go into, folks don't know, DT had been gathering some of his thoughts over the last month or so and kind of shared some things with me in his writings and some very deep things about being present. About the psychology in which we deal with who we are and what we are, man, we gonna have to talk about that because I think you've tapped into some very interesting thought that we need to share with our audience. See, you thought I wasn't gonna read it.
No, not that I didn't think you would read it.
I might have to put Richard on.
I was actually a little bit nervous to give it to you though, because I understand the level of scholarship that you've been through and understand. So I was like,
"Nah, it was good. Okay, it was good."
So that makes me feel good to know it was quality.
Good, man. But you did snap on a brother though when I didn't get it done when you wanted me to.
No. I was just eager to hear your response.
Listeners of one, you heard it here today. Brother snapped on me.
Didn't snap on him.
But you know, I was like, you know
didn't
what?
I didn't.
Know,
I didn't use know. Listeners. Listeners, if you're listening, I didn't even use half of the vocal energy that Mike used when he was talking about the Flint situation. So, hey.
He gave me some homework, and I failed, but I came back. I redeemed myself, and it's good material. And I'm looking forward to kind of talking about it on our next show. Hey, folks, we're coming up on 35, show 35.
Come hang out
and,
with us.
Yes, we're going to have a location. We're going to be putting up an event that we want you to come out, spend time with us, celebrate our 35th show. Mm. Oh, it's going to be
wow.
deep.
35.
Wow. Man.
Wow.
That's Richard, you've been hanging with us that long? Look at him. He's like, man, why in the world did I ever get with y'all? You ain't got no choice now. We part of the Blackest Studios family, so you ain't got
man,
no choice.
Man, almost been a year since we've been doing this thing, huh?
Almost.
Almost.
Almost, man. It's been exciting.
I'm excited to engage with the people who want to come out and hang out with us for our 35th. Yes. It's going to be really fun. We do this show for the people, man. It's about being able to expound on ideas that we all have, but, you know, that people have.
Absolutely.
And how to join and converge and commerce and connect these conversations together.
And doing things in real time, because things happen. and being able to talk about them and bring them to the forefront, I think is something we look forward to doing each and every day. It's been a great show, brother. Thank you.
Thank you
for all that you do. And I appreciate you.
Thanks to Blackened Studios.
Blackened Studios, because we are one mic, one voice. And history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover
Today's
that we overcame our differences? Will she find
Studios.
That out of many,
learn more about Black and
we
Studios.
Became one?
Please visit them.
Or will she find that we saw nothing?
Or visit them on
their
Facebook page,
a divided
Black
people.
And Studios.
Yes.
Today's broadcast
history
is also being brought to you by Perry
us.
Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blackened Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.